please?
Yes, sir. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on this community, and we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of statement regarding closed session of December 11th, 2012, pursuant to Section 1015-187 NMSA 1978 to discuss City of Carlsbad versus IW Incorporated litigation. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act, the closed session held on December 11, 2012 was to discuss matters pursuant to the provision of NMSA 1978, A, Section 1015-17, as amended to discuss City of Carlsbad versus INW Incorporated litigation. Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion, if not, call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number two is approval of the amended agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion, if not, call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number three, consider approval to cancel the February 12, 2013 regular city council meeting, and I'd ask Mr. Tully to give us a brief update, please.
Mr. Mayor, Council, we understand that the majority of the council may be going to Santa Fe early that week of February 12th it's a legislative session. And I think this is in connection with the Chamber of Commerce Bat Brigade, and is something that typically a number of the council do. If everybody goes who says they are going, it might be a little iffy as to whether or not we have a quorum to meet. So we put this on the agenda so the council could consider it and let us know your thoughts as to whether you thought you'd be back in time for a meeting.
We never do get back in time.
It's a long drive. Yeah.
So the consensus is to cancel the meeting?
Yes.
You have a motion?
I so move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? No. Call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number four, budget review as of November 30th, 2012, and Ms. Harris, welcome.
Hi, Council. Budget review is as of November 30th, 2012. We are 5 months into our fiscal year. The target percent is 42%. We had 11 of 26 pay periods that would also be 42%. Our gross receipts tax in the general fund, we collected $14.1 million of the $27.2 million. So we're at 52%, still being very, very strong. Everything else is pretty much on target. Our total revenues in the general fund are $16 million of the $30 million, so we're at 48% total. Transfers into the general fund, we've transferred in 2.3 of the 4.9 million budgeted, so we're at 47%. And we've transferred 100% of the 4 million out of the general fund. As far as operating and salaries, all of the departments are either at or under target, with a few exceptions. The salaries and personnel are at 46% due to retirement of Sean. The clerk is at 85%, total expenditures 101% on salary, and that's due to the combining of the departments. In the golf department, their salaries are at 44% due to overtime. The library is at 45% of their salaries due to overtime. The GIS, We're at 44% because we've made one of two payments for the year. And then the North Mesa Senior Center is at 44%, also due overtime. In the transit department, we've collected $142,000 of the $409,000 budgeted, so we're a little low at 30%. It's on a reimbursable basis. The Civic Center, we've collected $8,700 of the $20,000, so we're 44%. The Rec Center, we've collected $7,200 of the $17,000. They're right on target at 42%. Lodgers tax, we've collected $709,000 of the $1 million budgeted, so we're at 71%. It's still doing very, very well. Solid waste is right on target at 42%. The water department, we've collected 6.3 of the 12.3 budgeted. We're at 52%, so it's doing very, very strong. And RSVP, we still have not collected any of the funds for the year. And I know we have some issues with turning in reports to the federal and state before they'll release any funds to us. As far as the expenditures, transit on those salaries is at 43%, and that's due to overtime. The Civic Center is at 44% of their expenditures. That's due to repairing the roof out there, and we spent 49% of the capital. So that's where the chunk of that comes into play. As far as the rest of them, they're all pretty much on target or below, except for the sewer department. Their salaries are at 46%, and that's also due to overtime.
Questions or comments?
I have one question. Is there an easy reason why there's so many departments that are in overtime?
Well, the sewer department, they're specifically with the work that they're doing out there at the treatment plant that I think has caused some of that. The other ones that have to do with overtime, it's just that they're working employees more overtime than we actually have budgeted.
Okay, thank you.
No approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Further discussion? No, call for vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number five, consider approval of resolution number 2013-1 budget adjustment for the Gamers Hubs.
These are our third quarter budget adjustments that we've been for January. In the general fund, we've reduced the cash balance by $1.9 million. We are still $1.4 over the required $112 that the state requires, plus the $112 that the council requires on our cash reserves, and we're still okay on that. These have to do with, we have $1.3 million that we're transferring into the street department to help fund the San Jose Phase 2. You'll see that in one of the other funds coming up later. And then we're also transferring $200,000 out to CIEP to help fund the Riverwalk Rec Center roof replacement. We have increased salaries in the personnel department by $22,279, and that's to upgrade the security officer position to a safety manager position. I'm sorry, safety officer position to a safety manager position. We've added $11,000 in the fire department to purchase a drug dispenser. We've added $54,834 into salaries in the street department, and that's to cover one half year's worth of wages for a new position to add an additional deputy director of public works. So there'll be two instead of just one. There's $20,000 increase in capital into the garage department. The one-ton utility truck came in almost $20,000 over bid for what we had budgeted. We've increased capital in the parks department by $354,000. $184,000 is for the tennis pro shop exterior. Renovation, $135,000 is to improvements needed at the tennis restrooms. And then there was $35,000 for a lift station at the Blodgett Street restrooms. We've added $10,000 into the operational expenses for the museum for exhibit expenses, and then we've added $10,000 into capital in the licensing permit, and that's for additional architectural design fees needed for this municipal building. We already had $10,000 in the budget for doing the licensing permits is for the whole building. In our lodger's tax, the change that we made did not affect the cash balance at all. What we had is we had a $20,000 that we knew we were going to need to match a grant for the Hologuena Arts Park Phase 2. We had budgeted it in capital. We changed it to a transfer so that we could budget and spend all the money out of one place. So we're transferring it from lodger's tax out to CSP. In the airport fund, we reduced the cash balance by $863. We had a grant from the New Mexico Aviation. The grant amount was for $7,766. It required a match of $863 for the total project to be $8,629. In the sports complex fund, we reduced the cash balance by $200,000, and that is they need an office out there, and we're looking at some sort of manufactured building for that. In the water and sewer fund, we reduced the cash balance by $114,834. $54,834 of that is for salaries, and that's for a half a year's wages for a new position for the Deputy Director of Utilities. And then we added capital at $60,000 for construction of the Double Eagle Shop and Office Building. We have $100,000 of this is budgeted in the Water System Improvement Fund. They needed additional funds to complete the project. There was not enough cash balance out of that fund, so we funded it with this. In the street improvement, the changes we made did not reduce the cash balance at all. The San Jose paving project, we've increased capital by $1,663,867. In order to fund that, we had a grant, an MAP grant, for $363,867, and the remainder to fund, to cover that was from the transfer from the general fund of $1.3 million. In the CIEP, we reduced the cash balance by $232,000. We're increasing the capital in this fund by $532,000. There's three different things that we're doing. There's $20,000 additional needed for the architecture for the ventilation at the animal shelter. We had the Hologuena Arts Park Phase 2 project, which was $100,000. That is offset by $80,000 worth of revenue from a NMB Main Street project grant. And then the other $20,000 is coming from the lodger's tax. And then we also needed a roof replacement at the Riverwalk Recreation Center for $412,000. And that necessitated a $200,000 transfer from the general fund.
Okay. Questions or comments from the council?
Move approval.
We have a motion to approve. Second. Further discussion? No. Call for the vote.
Mr. Porto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number six, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the city council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately, and I've asked Mr. Tully to discuss D6, D11, D12, and E, please.
Mr. Mayor, Council, item D6 is a request for approval to award RFP 2012-49 to Souder Miller & Associates. This is for a storm drainage master plan. This plan will encompass in its scope the entire city. It's not a construction plan, but it is designed to identify the possible means of handling stormwater runoff in a better fashion. That may end up being a variety of different things, and that's why we need some technical expertise. The plans could range from additional underground stormwater drainage structures to catch basins that retain or detain water. And this is really a plan that we need in order to effectively plan for the future on our construction projects how we're going to handle this. I think this is going to be not only a very interesting plan, but it's going to be a very necessary plan for the future. Item D11 is to consider approval to solicit competitive bids for construction of San Jose Boulevard reconstruction phase two. Phase two goes from Fiesta Drive, where phase one leaves off through the canyon and terminates at about Diaz Street. It, in almost all respects, will mirror phase one. That is, it will have increased roadway width, it will have sidewalks, it will have lighting. This also includes a low water crossing on Dark Canyon. The crossing, and I might add that the engineering has been completed on this project for some time. We only required some additional engineering for the bid documents. The low water crossing has been designed to the 25-year event, so it will provide substantial crossing capability safely for most of our storms, obviously, but not all. Item D12 is a request to approve invitation to solicit RFPs for a fire alarm system at Walter Jones Performing Arts Center. The annex does not have a system, and it requires one by code. The auditorium actually has a system, but it may not meet code in all requirements. So we are soliciting an RFP to address that issue. We have not budgeted that, but because this is a life safety code issue, we want to get this out there as quickly as we can. We'll get the RFPs back, then we'll be able to budget appropriately. Item E is consider approval of a settlement agreement between the City of Carlsbad and Lee County regarding State Engineer Water Application L350GA. The City of Carlsbad protested an application that Lee County filed for some water issues in Lee County. We tend to protest those until we determine whether or not those, not just Lee County's, but others in the Ogallala, are going to impact our double legal system. This particular situation, and I passed out what is actually Attachment A, and that's the map of Lee County. It doesn't show up real well. Lee County has already approved this agreement, but the little triangular area is the area where the water rights are to be diverted and applied. We determined that there was no impairment to our water rights. However, we had some issues that were best settled by an agreement prior to our withdrawal of the protest. And those included the fact that Lee County had claimed a conflict of interest on our long-time water rights attorney with the Modrell firm, simply because the Modrell firm had represented Lee County in the issuance of some industrial revenue bonds for the project that this water application is intended to enhance. We wanted to make sure that they would not claim that conflict in the future, and in fact they agreed not to claim it in this particular instance as well. Where this agreement only applies to water in this particular area that is defined on the map, there are applications Lee County has made for about 10,000 acre-feet of water in the Lee County Basin that will impair our water rights as we know it now. They may move those rights, we understand, but this agreement in no way bears upon our ability to protest any of those water right applications that have been made. It does, however, suggest that as government to government, we would sit down and discuss these issues and hopefully arrive at amicable settlements in the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Tully? I've had a couple of people ask about item G2, just what the committee is going to do. If you could maybe explain that. Maybe, Mr. Mayor, you could.
Well, on G2, I've asked Councilman Janelle Whitlock and CDOD President Don George to chair an Air Service Needs Assessment Committee. The members, of course, will be John Waters, Robert DeFerrer, Ned Elkins, Paul Shoemaker, Jack Bell Potter, and Susan Crockett. The committee will be tasked with our general aviation needs, looking at the next 5 years and the possibilities of regional jet service. We're very concerned with the Essential Air Service contract and whether future budget cuts will eliminate it. I've also asked that the committee report back to the council with a recommendation in 90 days.
Thank you.
I think it's very needed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Further questions or comments from the council?
Move approval.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
We have a second. Further discussion? If not, call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
All items under routine regular business have passed. Number 7, presentation by Roxanne Lara regarding the long-range planning committee report. And Roxanne Lara and Wanda Grimm have been the co-chairmen. You're welcome, Roxanne.
Thank you.
And I understand Wanda is having cataract surgery?
That's correct. So my co-chair is Wanda Duran. She's done an amazing amount of work with me on this project. But she's in Lubbock having surgery, so our wishes are with her tonight. So thank you, Mayor and Council, for having us here tonight to do the presentation of the long-term plan. I'm very, very excited to be here as a citizen of Carlsbad and presenting this the final project to you. This project started, in fact, does everybody have a copy at your So this project started roughly 2 years ago, and Mayor Janway had this vision that he wanted a long-term plan established for Carlsbad that accomplished two things. Number one, that it was a resident-based plan, that it was driven by the citizens of Carlsbad and driven by what their ideas and what their things, their thoughts about the needs of Carlsbad were. And number two, that the long-term plan itself would be a document that's a living document. It would be have an implementation plan, it would be sustainable, and it would be a true long-term plan, and not something that would be produced after many, many months of what turned into 2 years of work just to go onto a shelf, but would be something that would be continuously reviewed and used and implemented. So I'm pleased to present you the final plan. I'll just give you a very, very quick overview. I know you have a long agenda tonight, but the process started with the mayor appointing a steering committee, and the steering committee met and chose six areas in which to focus in, and those six areas were the quality of life, government, energy and natural resources, economic development, education, and infrastructure for Carlsbad. Working together, the steering committee reached out to the citizens of Carlsbad and formed committees and had chairman and vice chairman of those committees that were established. At that point, the steering committee, along with the committee chairs and committee vice chairs, worked together to develop a survey that would receive public participation to get to public input for the plan. We received hundreds and hundreds of responses to the survey. The survey was in hard copy, it was available online, and it was available at several different places throughout the community. And so after we received these hundreds and hundreds of responses, which, by the way, I want to commend the mayor on, because he personally reviewed every survey response that came
That's
in.
Great.
And so as they came in, he had stacks and stacks on his desk, and he read every one of them because he was interested in seeing what people were talking about. So if you go to page 6 of the document, there's the long-term plan summary, and what we tried to do was capture the things that were common themes and common ideas among these hundreds and hundreds of responses from the community. And if you look at those six items, you'll see that it's really about the reputation of Carlsbad and what we truly want to become known for. One of those things being that this is a community that uses its resources wisely, implementing things like conservation and recycling and reduction efforts. And another thing was to become known as a community that has a great appearance, improving the appearance of the community. And that was really nice to hear coming back from the public, because the mayor has been so focused on the beautification efforts. So that matches right up with the current administration. Number three was creating a community that would be known for its outdoor recreational opportunities. We have incredible opportunities around our community, around Carlsbad. Our citizens really wanted the promotion of the things that we have with the outdoor recreation, existing trails, walking, biking, hiking, all of those kinds of opportunities, as well as our excellent sports facilities and maintaining and expanding those sports facilities for our families. Creating, along those same lines, creating a world-class recreational parkway along the Pecos River. We are known for our beautiful Pecos River, but to really harness the power that we have in developing it and making sure we're using it to its full resources. So if there are other things that we can be doing along the river, along those recreational aspects, to look at that. Finally, you can't do any of these things unless you maintain and expand a healthy economy. So focusing efforts on promoting Carlsbad as a great place to live and to do business, and all of the economic things that go along with that, with promoting businesses and being a place where young adults want to come to Carlsbad, as well as supporting the existing businesses that we have, are incredibly important. But integral to all of this is to continue long-range planning regarding land use and future growth, and really being smart and looking and planning properly for what we're doing as the population is growing in Carlsbad. One of the things I wanted to point out real quickly is that there were several things that the city is working on now, for instance, the nuclear efforts, the nuclear energy efforts, that didn't come across in any surveys. There wasn't anybody who presented a survey response to us that said expand the mission of WIF, although that's a project that the city of Carlsbad has been working on. So the long-term planning committee really wanted to point out that there are a lot of things that the city is working on, and we endorse many of those efforts, even though they're not specifically identified and talked about in this long-term plan. So this long-term plan really is what the citizen-based plan was about. So that's the quick about it. The next six chapters of the plan is a chapter devoted to every one of the committees. And so at this point, I'd like to ask everybody in the audience who was involved in a committee, is either chairing the committee, serving on the committee, doing any work on this plan at all, if they would please stand, because we have several members of the audience that were involved in forming this plan.
Awesome.
And in addition to that, if there's any committee chairs or committee members that would like to you know, expand or point out something specific about their particular report and the next six reports, I'd like to offer them an opportunity to do that, if that's okay with the council. Does anybody want to say anything?
Stand up, Joe.
They are all taking the fifth. It's because we've been working on this for 2 years and we're all celebrating it being completed. Yeah. and I didn't notice if they sat and if they stood or not, but Ruthie and Don Porter, I want to give them incredibly special recognition.
Yeah.
Because when we started to put the plan together, I called Ruthie and I said, do you have a few photos of this or that that maybe you could help us out with? And her response to me was, if we don't have the photo, we will get the photo. And her and Don went out and took tons and tons of photos. And the photos that are in this long-term plan, as well as the comprehensive plan that you'll see in a few moments, all of the pictures and those were taken by Ruthie and Don Porter. And I would like for them to be recognized.
Yeah.
Finally, actually, if you will, flip with me to page 55. That is actually the last page of this report. Now, I know it goes on for another 50 pages, but what you have in your appendix there that is so lengthy is the responses in a summary form of all of the responses we received from everybody. So you actually have what we received in a summary form attached to your plan that you can peruse when you can't sleep. But anyway, page 55 is a one-page. These are our final long-term plan recommendations. Of course, we're presenting the plan to you, and our first recommendation to the council is if you will implement this plan in coordination and cooperation with a lot of the other organizations in town. As you go through the plan, you'll see there are some things that are suggested that you might think, wow, that's a really great project for the Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce, or that's a really great thing to maybe get the Boys Club involved with. And so I think that there are a lot of opportunities for partnership, which makes all of this very exciting. Opportunities for partnership with all these other organizations, and I would stress that as you look at implementation, that you look for those opportunities and reach out and try to make these things happen as part of the team and the community. Number two, public input was integral to this whole thing. This whole thing started because the mayor wanted to know what the city of Carlsbad citizens wanted. Yeah, that's what it was about. It wasn't to be steered by the government. It was to be steered by the people. So its implementation should also take into account some recommendations from the people. So our recommendation to the mayor and to the council is that you form an implementation committee and a steering committee, and you might want to write a resolution to do those things, requiring this plan to come off the shelf, be reviewed, looked at the projects every couple of years, and this implementation team really following along and making sure that that is happening, and it's not something that gathers dust, and having the public involved is incredibly important. And finally, number three, what we learned as a steering committee as we went through this process is that there was room for growth in communication and public information from the city of Carlsbad. There were a lot of ideas that were submitted that were projects that the city was already working on, or the city had already made a decision not to do that particular thing, but the public just didn't know about those things. And so we thought that the ideal situation would be if the city would consider hiring a public information officer and develop a communications plan and have that person in charge of putting out that plan and having that ongoing correspondence with the public about the projects and the status of those projects. So here's the plan. Those are our recommendations, and I'll sit now for questions.
Questions from the council?
Not until I read it.
You have my cell phone number.
This is incredible. This is incredible.
Yeah, you did an awesome job on this. Really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank you. We had over 50 people in this community have their hands on this project, actively working on it, and you really need to.
Everybody has done such a great job.
Awesome.
We do appreciate your work so much. And what we'd like to do is take time to digest this, to study it, and then get back probably with you and Wanda, and come back to the council with a plan for implementation.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Whatever else you need from us. We were able to work with Site Southwest with the public input and some of the planning process, and they incorporated some of that into their comprehensive plan that you're going to hear about next, and I think that was a pretty cool deal. They took the public input to that as well.
Well, the next item on the agenda is a presentation of that plan by Ms. Shemsky, and we started out just to do one plan, your plan, but it ended up that we had to have two plans because of the legal requirements, and so again, we'll get back with you, and we want to have time for everybody to go through this, and we'll put together a plan. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. And let's see, the next item is number 8, comprehensive approval of resolution number 2013-2, a resolution regarding the adoption of the Greater Carlsbad Comprehensive Plan Strategy 2020 in accordance with section 31910 NMSA 1978. Ms. Shumsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. The state statute authorizes the city to prepare a master plan to guide development and growth within the city limits and within the planning and platting jurisdiction. In our case, that's 5 miles outside the city limits. We have a current plan, the Greater Carlsbad Comprehensive Plan Strategy 2020 plan, and several funding sources throughout the state, including the Community Development Block Grant, the ICIP process, require that municipalities and counties have master plans reviewed and approved, and they'd like us to look at them about every 5 years, just to make sure they're updated and current. So essentially this is an update of our Strategy 2020 plan, and this will take us into 2030. The consultant was Site Southwest, and as Ms. Lara explained, Site Southwest utilized the long-term planning group as the public process component required by our comprehensive plan. And that was so helpful. The group was wonderful to work with. They provided a lot of information, and Site Southwest was able to take a lot of that information from the community surveys, a lot of the projects that were recommended, and they incorporated them into our comprehensive plan that the city can then use to guide development and growth. The comprehensive plan is a little bit different than the long-term plan because it's more comprehensive, it's more technical. It incorporates a lot of the updated census information, land use data. We recently, in 2009, we adopted the housing plan, and so Site Southwest went back, looked at the housing plan, and updated all the information from the plan and incorporated it into our housing plan. One of the other important things to note about this was the Department of Finance Administration, through their CDBG program, requires certain elements to a comprehensive plan in order to qualify for funding. And also, I believe MFA does too when you apply for money for different housing programs and so forth. And so our previous plan was lacking a couple of those components, and so we had to add those, and I believe it was, a water section and an economic development section, I think we were lacking. And so we had to add those two components. So those sections are new in the plan. But you have the plan. I utilize this plan a lot. The Planning and Zoning Commission does too. Every time we have applications that go to Planning and Zoning, I always relate to the plan. I incorporate any goals or policies that are in the plan and relate them to that particular application so they know if it furthers or hinders any of the goals in the plan. So I utilize this a lot, and Planning and Zoning Commission uses it a lot. So it's a very helpful tool, and it won't sit on the shelf, and it is utilized frequently by myself. And I wanted to thank Ms. Lara and the committee that worked really hard on that, the long-term plan. I think that a lot of the suggestions in there, as you read through that, you'll note that some of the items have already been completed. So that's really good to see that the college was interested in something that we were already working on. So this comprehensive plan you'll have, you can refer to it. It talks about economic development. It has workforce, demographic information in it, who's moving to Carlsbad, what age groups, what employment industries are they in, that sort of information. So that's really helpful. We make sure this gets to the Chamber of Commerce and Department of Development so they can utilize it in marketing. A lot of folks, when they're coming to Carlsbad, especially businesses, they look at our comprehensive plan, and a lot of people have given me feedback on our housing plan that they have really looked at when they look to site new businesses or housing developments. So those plans are really helpful and they're on the website. So I hope that you adopt the resolution tonight to adopt this plan. And a lot of hard work has gone into it. And I think it's going to be really helpful and it's going to serve us well into the future. So I'll stop for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council?
Approval.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second. Further discussion? We don't call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Dawes?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Sherman?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Shumsky. Number 9, consider matters relating to the denial of ordinance number 2012-17, an ordinance for a zoning change into R Rural Residential to I Industrial District for a 55.6.84 acre parcel of land located at the southwest corner of Boyd Drive and Rose Street, extended pursuant to Section 321-1 NMSA 1978 and Sections 56-150B and 56-150I Crosby Code of Ordinances. And A, consider approval of motion to reconsider denial of ordinance number 2012-17. And B, consider approval to set date of February 26, 2013 to consider ordinance number 2012-17 for zoning change as specified above. And Mr. Turner, I'd like for you to begin, please.
Mr. Mayor, Council, this matter came before the council some time ago, and the ordinance for the zone change was denied. The applicants requested a reconsideration of this ordinance. The rules of procedure allow reconsideration, but the motion to reconsider must be made by a member who voted with the prevailing side, which was to deny the motion. Anyone can second the motion. If the motion is made and seconded and approved, then the council would consider setting the date to consider the ordinance for February 26th. This starts the due process requirements again for whatever notifications must be made, whatever publications must be made, et cetera. So.
Any questions or comments from the council regarding this?
Do you think you could give us more information to make it a clear concept or?
You need a motion to, excuse me, Mr. Mayor. You'll need a motion to reconsider this before you take any comments.
I would make that motion.
Okay, we have a motion to reconsider. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to reconsider. Further discussion is not called for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Dawes?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
No.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
No.
And the motion to reconsider is passed. Mr. Mathis.
You just didn't want me to talk to you.
Yes.
Well, it goes through the procedure to get to you.
Let me give it just a brief, and I think it's great, and the mayor and councilman, and I certainly hope that, you know, I know you're overpaid, and I know your wages are going to put you in a new tax bracket. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. But the reason I'm here is that I'm really representing Adair Gossett, which his family, and of course Walter is deceased, and this is all. But the big thing was that I think when the presentation that might have been made was that I'm from someone from out of town and really not really accustomed to what goes on in Carlsbad, probably not aware of some, I think, some concerns that were made at the vote that should be taken care of and be addressed. And the reason that we want to come back to you and show you exactly what we're looking at and give you a little bit more of a proper presentation and see if we can address some of the concerns, which I think are concerns, so I'm not belittling any of the concerns. See if we can address the concerns. I know that the town is very progressive right now. I want to congratulate you, and I also want to thank everybody because it's nice that you can come back and get a second chance at something. I want to thank y'all for that. So what we want to do, I've met with Mr. Lawrence and the coffee company and talked to him about the concerns, and I think we're going to be able to take care of some of these things. So I'd like to have the time between now and the next city council meeting that I think I can address. We can address these concerns. At that time, you can make a decision with a little bit more information to give to you. So we want to appreciate and thank you for that consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mathis.
Thank you.
Anybody else that would like to speak for? Well, let's see if anybody's for. If nobody, Mr. Lawrence?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the time that you love to come up here and speak my piece again. First of all, Mr. Matthews told a lie. He has not contacted me. Not heard anything from him at all. So he has not discussed this with me. And so I don't know what he's got on his agenda, but it was incorrect. I think the city council used logic and made a logical decision. And what we did for the city with that decision was to keep more rural residential open for development rather than turn it into an oil field trash gathering spot, which everyone in town so far that we have has become an eyesore, as I sent you pictures of, and we really don't need another one of those in our city limits. We need more development of rural residential, and I would like to see that build up out there. I don't know why it hasn't been actively put on the market for sale. There's been no for sale signs up on that land since I moved in until just recently. So it hasn't been actively marketed. And I believe that there is a market for it. You all know that there are developers all the time looking for land to build on. Why that land hasn't been marketed, I don't know. But I would like to commend the city council on the original decision. I believe they made the right decision for the good of the city. And the roads are not up to heavy oil field traffic. And there's no reason to put in curb and gutter and more expensive roads to get ready for one little business. So I wanted to set the record clear that I have not met with Mr. Mathis. And I don't know why he said that. But anyway, thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against? No one. What's the council's pleasure?
Just setting the date.
We need them.
We're just setting the date.
Yeah, yes. We're at B, consider approval to set date of February 26, 2013 to consider ordinance number 2012-17 for a zoning change as specified above.
So moved. Second.
The motion to approve.
We
have a motion and a second. Further discussion, if not, call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
What was the number?
It's unanimous to set the date.
Okay. Number 10. Consider approval of ordinance number 2013-1 and ordinance amending ordinance number 2011-13 regarding industrial water users and setting the rates for the sale of water to the city of Carlsbad municipal water system to such users. I'd like for Mr. Tully to start, please.
Mr. Mayor and Council, recently the Water Board approved a rate increase in the double eagle system for industrial water. And that increase caused the city industrial rate to be lower than double legal, prompting the water board to make a recommendation and to recommend to the council that the city municipal system industrial rate be increased. And that ordinance and that recommendation is before you tonight.
Okay. We have three members here of the water board. We have Larry Sayles, Larry Henderson, and Steve Massey. And I think each one of them wants to say a few words. Larry Sayles, if you would start, please.
I want to mention a couple of things. Number one is I represented the city of Carlsbad at the Senator Udall's Water Conference this year. And one of the things that they kept pointing out at that water conference, and if you look at this chart, all you have to do is look at blue and brown. And this is the years past in water. And the brown is below normal and the blue is above. And if you'll notice, most of the years are brown and below normal. We do live in a desert. And since the last, like, 30, 40 years have been the highest that we've ever had, the amount of rain and precipitation. So I think that we need to definitely keep that in mind when we're making any decisions about water. We live in a desert environment, and we may not be in a drought. That's what they kept saying. We're not in a drought. It might be the new normal because we may be going back to the average precipitation. You understand what I'm saying there? Mm-hmm. So when we look at those things, and then we look also... if you'll remember back in 2011, the city of Carlsbad can use 10,283 acre feet of water per year out of the Capitan Aquifer. In 2011, we went over that. Okay, and we would have had substantial penalties and difficulty in the future catching back up if John hadn't found Mosaic, wasn't it, that gave us 500 acre feet of water. But we went over, and why we voted the way, or at least the reason I voted the way I did, is the water that is municipal water. It's water for our citizens. And that's what it, in my opinion, that's what it should be used for, not industrial use. We sold 300 and some acre feet of water for industrial use that year. We wouldn't have been in that buying had we not been selling water to industry. We've been keeping it for our citizens. So that's why I voted the way I did.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Well, Larry Henderson?
Good evening, everyone. I just want to emphasize a couple of things. Larry has covered a lot of the detail, but the main thing is that we have X amount of water in the aquifer. We exceeded that amount considerably by providing water to the industrial users. And we're primarily talking about the people involved with oil and gas. They're taking good drinkable water. They're adding the chemicals that they need to make that good water bad water. And then the wastewater that comes as a result of that is not usable in being returned to the aquifer as good water. I think that as a city, this step had to be taken. And that in the future, we're going to have to be looking at a lot of other water conservation measures that other communities have taken long before us. Carlsbad has had the attitude that we'll always have enough water, and it just certainly isn't the case, and really never has been the case if we really drew upon it. So that's the reason for the measure. It's necessary. It's required. If we look at the future, especially the interest of being shown in the community now by other businesses, by people, retirees, that we want to grow the community, we have to look at more careful use of the good water that we have remaining. There are a lot of saline aquifers out there that the industry doesn't want to use because it doesn't have the combination of chemicals that they want to do the fracking. So that's the reason for the decision. Any questions?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Now, Steve Massey.
Mayor, thank you for being here tonight, or allowing me to be here tonight. And I have to commend our city fathers for their foresight in securing all the water that we do have. But the one thing that really got my attention when I started looking at this was we were undercutting private water sellers as well. We were selling our water. Historically, it's my understanding that we used to sell our water for about twice as much what the private sector would sell for. And we were actually keeping them low, I guess, because we were much lower than the private sector. So the industrial use, what we're looking at doing is bringing that up to twice the amount, which historically we have done in the past. And it's my opinion, it's not our job to be competing with the private sector and selling water or any other service for that matter that the private sector does provide. So that's about my own concern on that.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else that wants to speak for the ordinance? Anyone to speak against the ordinance? Any?
Mayor, Council, I don't necessarily want to speak against the ordinance. I just have some concerns regarding it. Namely, I'm not sure where the city's water is cheaper than what we've been able to, as an industry, buy in other areas. We get water cheaper in other areas, but if we don't have other sources, then we use the city's water. The other is the term industrial user is listing oil and gas industry as their name implies. As an example, I would use a water meter that we have out of the airport, which is rented under SD Wheat. But that water is used strictly for construction. That's the water I use for building pads and during demolition projects and when we're wetting down roads and doing that kind of thing. So although it is under SB Wheat, if SB Wheat is being deemed as an industrial user at that particular meter, then that would not be accurate. And under this ordinance, if I read that correctly, it's the city's sole discretion who fits the actual description. So I don't know if I wanted to present that to the city in the ordinance, I don't see where I would be allowed to do that. I just have some concerns regarding that. Not against the ordinance, I understand why it's being done, I understand the prudent use of water. There will be a push for water from other sources. The city's aware of that. I'm sure they are. But just if we could have some wording in there that would help us to explain ourselves and get have an opportunity to present to the city regarding issues such as this that I have before me.
Mr. Tully, do you want to address that?
I'm not really sure what the issue is. You're talking about the airport well.
If that's going to be subject to the $1,000 a month minimum,
the ordinance before us tonight is it deals strictly with water from the municipal system treated for human to human drinking water standards.
Okay.
The airport well, while it is fresh water, is not treated water.
Okay.
And that has, I believe, historically been sold at commercial rates.
Okay. And so that will not fall under this under this ordinance?
That particular well or that source of water does not.
Okay. And the introduction of, I believe it's 2% double legal water into the municipal system is the basis for the increase, or one of the contributing factors for the increase?
Bringing the water into the city from double legal?
Yes, sir, from double legal. There's an introduction of water from double legal into the city's domestic use.
That's correct. And that water becomes part of the municipal system in that it is treated to human drinking water standards as well.
All right. So a meter on the double legal and a meter on the city's municipal will be billed at the same rate.
Whatever the appropriate rate is, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So double legal will be the same rate as the industrial. I mean, I just want to be clear on that.
No. We bring water into the city from double legal,
yes,
at which time it becomes municipal water because it's treated to drinking water standards. And so all of that water, which is primarily out on the industrial park area and the Hobbs Highway and some other areas of town,
yes,
that water is sold on the same basis as other water is sold from the municipal system. Now, when you're in the double legal system where the water is not treated to human drinking water standards, a separate rate applies, a different rate.
Well, the question came up because our name was on a list of who was going to be charged this crisis, and that was one of the names on the list, and that's the only place where we're getting named water under that business. So are you just picking oil field names?
I think the list you got is a list of who have been historically, businesses who have historically been billed, or at least have been billed at the industrial rate since the industrial rate was created.
But you will have somebody that keeps up with an accurate list.
We try. People come in for water services. It's not always easy to identify an industrial use necessarily from a commercial use at the level of making the application downstairs and in the process of getting a business registration. But our intent is to do the best we can to identify who these users are, who are using the water for industrial purposes. And we actually, in the ordinance, give ourselves the ability to make that determination of who used or uses the water. So if we were to discover that there was a company out there who had not been appropriately charged, then our policy would be then to make that adjustment to the appropriate rate. Did that answer your question?
I just want to make sure it's equal to playing field. And it doesn't seem like that on the list.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that. The list that I believe you got.
I think it's because you say anything that's resale to the oil field, and that's not completely true. If for non-domestic, one of the gentlemen said, any industrial water use. So I think you would have to include everybody that uses the water for any resale to the oil field, which would require whoever's in charge of this to do a little more investigation and to be selling to the oil field.
And you may be right. It's just difficult when somebody comes in to make a water application for a commercial account to always accurately in the first instance sift out which rate actually applies. And you know, our intent is to do that, and we will do that.
And your form actually asks you to check off which it is. On this particular form, the one at the airport yard, I did put down for construction and construction sites. and it does offer you residential, commercial, industrial, and types of structures that you'll be working on. It'll be existing structure, construction sites, new structure, manufactured home, modular home. So what the meter will be used for.
And that's right.
So it is on your form. Mm-hmm. I guess what Valerie's trying to say is that, you know, will there be someone that will go out and look at these, or, you know, when we come in, will someone go out with us and make sure that we're doing what we're reporting with the water?
We try to do that, particularly with new services. When the service folk go out to put in a new service, sometimes made determinations that weren't necessarily the determinations down in the billing office where the application was made. Occasionally they may find accounts that they believe are being improperly billed, and they will call that to the attention of the billing, and we'll do some double checking. I don't know if that happens often, but it does happen once in a while. We want a level playing field for everyone too.
I think part of the concern is that if at some point you think that you're not being billed in the correct category, you got the right to appeal. And I certainly think you should have.
And I didn't see anything of that.
That was the reason why we're here, because there isn't. It just says $1,000 minimum. Is that correct? And our name is on there. So we control it. We're not
because we love you, Valerie.
So I don't want to be surprised with $1,000 bill. So I'm asking now.
If you're not using water for the industrial uses that are identified in this ordinance, then you won't be charged that. And if you are, then we will correct the error. Just please bring it to our attention quickly as you can.
And the appeal process would be the same as a water bill appeal process?
The first round of appeal is working through the billing office. The second round of appeal can be, and frequently is, through the water board itself.
Will there be a form that we would use, like when a sewer line is busted or a water line is busted during the 2 months when we determine the sewer rate? I mean, would a similar form be used, or would we just come in and talk to the clerk's office then?
Water, Monica, I don't know that we use a form for water adjustments if there have been an overcharge or over billing or improper billing.
No, sir, we don't. We do have on the 311 system, there is a method, there is a request there if you want to dispute a water bill. So you can do it that way, or a lot of people just come down into our cashiers and billing office downstairs and request to talk to somebody about the bill.
Yeah, most disputes over either amounts of water or appropriate billing, those are typically almost always resolved at the first level. It's dealing with the billing office, but if the customer is not satisfied, then they have a recourse. Actually, they can come talk to me. Ultimately, they could go to the water board and present their case. But I think you'll find most of the time they get resolved. Very early on.
It's better progress.
Yes.
Mayor. I might mention, Mayor, that in our discussion on the water board on these new matters, we have talked a lot about increasing the monitoring, not only in the city's well fields, but with particularly with Double Eagle also, the type of users, where they're using. Whether it's
authorized use or unauthorized use. So we are talking about increasing the monitoring throughout the water systems for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Branson.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
If the air conditioner is on, can we turn it off? It's cold in
we
here.
We got that taken care of that quick.
Thank you.
That's why we're bidding the system out.
That's good. Let's do it.
Well, where are we now? We were
contender number 10. Further questions or comments?
Move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call for the vote.
Mr. DeForco?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number 11, consider approval of ordinance number 2013-2, an ordinance authorizing the sale to Joe Brennestuhl and Valerie Monroe in a joint venture known as JV Productions of a portion of Unit 3 caused by Airport Industrial Park containing approximately 18.77 acres of real property. Mr. Tone, would you begin, please?
Mr. Mayor, Council, this was a request from Joe Brennestuhl and Valerie Merle in a joint venture they call JV Productions to purchase $4,000 an acre, approximately 18.77 acres in the industrial park. This tract of property is really the last in the platted portion in the industrial park. It actually confused us for a little while because Unit 3 had been platted back in 2004, and then it had been modified by Unit 7, which was, I believe, done in early 2011. So the description you have here is Unit 3, which has a certain number of acres, and it's modified by Unit 7, so it results in 18.77 acres. Ms. Merle is here tonight, and you have a letter in your file from JV Productions.
Did you have a statement you wanted to make, Ms. Merle?
No, I would say Ms. Waddle will be representing this.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Waddle is here.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the sale of the property to Joville for the JB Productions.
So, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Not call for the vote.
Mr. DeForco?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes. I guess.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number 12, consider approval of resolution number 2013-3, a resolution declaring certain city property obsolete and unusable. Mr. Tully?
Mr. Mayor, the usual list of goodies that have outlived their usefulness. In this case, obsolete playground equipment, some map files. I think that's about it. Just our standard resolution to be able to lawfully dispose of.
Move for approval. Motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. Further discussion? Not call for the vote.
Mr. DeForco?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number 13, consider approval of resolution number 2013-404, a resolution designating the official City of Carlsbad website, establishing certain policies regarding the content of the website, official use of the social media, and establishing a policy regarding the use of email for official city business. Mr. Tully.
Mr. Mayor, Council, this is something that I bring to your attention in the form of a resolution asking you to establish some policies. There are a lot of issues dealing with websites. There are a lot of websites that look official. We have had websites created by departments that were never approved, and in an effort with regard to the websites so that the council and the city can disclaim ownership and responsibility for the content of unauthorized websites, I think it's appropriate that you designate an official website. The one we are currently using is www.cityofcarlsbadnm.com, and we've used that for quite some time now. This is the the website that we want to be the sole website unless you approve another official website in the future, and you might. You might approve one for the museum, or you might approve one for the library or the fire department. But what this policy would require is that those requests come back to you so that you have knowledge of it and so that you will understand what the content and the use of those websites would be. You're giving public notice in this policy that the city is not responsible for the content of any website that's not official or any website that's purporting to be official, implicitly or explicitly, if it is not a website that you have affirmatively approved at a meeting like this. We don't want those websites out there because we can't control the content, and we think it's important that the content be controlled so that there's not an inappropriate use. We want this to be useful to the public. We want it to be useful to the city and to everyone, and to have appropriate content. This also, with regard to the social media, we think the social media for many departments is a very appropriate tool for the dissemination of information. But as we all know, the inappropriate use of social media can result in some problems. And we have had some problems that, regrettably, we've had to intervene in, so to speak, because they appeared, at least in one case, to be an official statement made by an employee. What I'm suggesting in this policy is that you recognize the fact that things like Facebook and Twitter are important in this day and age, but as a city we still need to be responsible for the content. We'll only be responsible for the content when we utilize them in accordance with the policy. That social media changes a lot. The rec center might not have a reason to use it today, but they might have one tomorrow. So rather than bring those all back to the council, what I'm suggesting here is that the use is permitted for official purposes, provided that the department, the director's department, provides the city administrator with a written policy for the use and the management of it, the content and so forth, and that that policy is approved in writing by the city administrator. Also, the third element here is the use of official city email. As all of you know, emails are becoming the subject of open records requests. But just as importantly, they are becoming the medium by which a lot of official city business is transacted. A lot of times we get emails from entities that 5 years ago or maybe even not that long ago, we would get hard copies in the mail. Now we get emails. And we want you to adopt a policy that the official city email, cityofcarlsbadnm.com, is the official email address and the only official address for the conduct of business. As an example, we need to have the ability, if an employee is conducting official business and that employee quits or is otherwise unavailable, we have the ability to go in and retrieve his emails that are pertaining to city business on the city email website. We would not have that if the employees conduct those on their private. So we just would like to have a policy, and this resolution also authorizes me to develop the internal policies necessary to carry this out.
Move for approval.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? No, call for vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcedo?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Number 14, Council Committee Reports or Recommendations. Councilman Shirley?
Yes, I wanted to take an opportunity to commend one of our police officers. I heard from a citizen a couple of weeks ago that Naman Martinez, did I say that right, Chief?
Yes.
Naman Martinez is doing an excellent job doing his job and going out and responding to a lot of calls and doing a good job at it. So anyway, Chief, if you would pass that along to him, then I'll appreciate that.
I'd also like to add Eddie Rodriguez to that list. He was the officer, I believe, that was responsible for the incident over at the recreation center where the woman was found with a gun over there. So I think that was
Ryan
Rodriguez. Yes. I'm sorry. So
thank you.
I'd like to put that out there as well. And also on Tuesday, Secretary John Barella from the Economic Development of New Mexico was in Artesia. Since I worked there, I went over there to a press release that he had. It was for the Main Street programs in New Mexico, and he was there to support funding to keep the Main Street programs going and give us some more money in there so we can do certain things, you know, throughout New Mexico and our main streets. And I think it's really important when it comes to us preserving, you know, historic buildings and theaters is what he touched on. And he really praised our Main Street director and our Main Street board in Artesia and here in Carlsbad on what a good job they've done. And I just wanted to pass that on as well.
And I agree with that. Patsy, do you have a word you'd like to say about that?
Yes, due to the efforts of Amy Barnhart on that Main Street, she's the director of Main Street. We have received an $80,000 grant from Mr. Barella, who was here and presented that grant for the Halloween Arts Park.
It's awesome. So he's going to try to get us some more funding so we can do projects like this all around New Mexico. So it was great for him to come to our state and actually talk about giving us money instead of taking it.
Both of you.
Excuse me, Mayor. I'd also like to commend Main Street for including city property in that grant
right.
request. Mm-hmm. Because they had all kinds of things that they could have done, you know, that would still be within the Main Street area that might not have been specifically city property. So thank you to the Main Street for that.
Thank you, Patsy.
Mr. Mayor. And also welcome Patsy and Rick at their first meetings in their official
capacity.
Kind of different seeing them sitting there.
Mr. Mayor, I talked to Rick a minute before the meeting, and I want to recognize our fire department, especially on two recent fires. We had, I believe there were total losses. The only problem was is they didn't let them burn long enough, and they would have been completely total losses. But my point being that these two properties were pretty much abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them we've been trying to get torn down for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been the day the thing burned down. It was ironic. I had called and asked for somebody to look at that property because I thought it looked like it was being used for something else. It burned that night. I didn't do it. I got six more on the list. What concerns me is that if we have these properties that need condemnation, and yeah, they cost the city a little bit of money, it costs a heck of a lot less to condemn them and tear them down than it does to fight them with our firefighters and take a chance on having injury or death. And that the fact that these places are being used for illicit purposes to start with. I'm going to renew the push to get this stuff on the agenda and get this stuff knocked down. I'd like to ask support. I would also like to ask for each of you to drive around your areas, find that stuff, and let's get it handled.
Yeah.
I think it needs to, and that's part of the cleanup of Carlsbad, but it's also a safety issue.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Councilman. Anyone else? Anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? The last item is number 15. And due to the fact that I'm formerly an employee of Ryan W. Incorporated, and that now I do consulting work for LME Services, and to avoid any improper appearance, I'm going to recuse myself and ask Mayor Pro Tem Dick Doss to take over and finish the call today. Councilman Doss?
I think I can do it from the right.
It's better we can't burn down my house, it'd be a lot cheaper. Training and...
Mr. Kelly, I believe you have had discussions with our attorneys, Mr. Domenici, in reference to the continuation of this lawsuit. Do you have some background you'd like to lay on it? We went through it in the Budget Committee. Budget Committee is requesting that the additional funding for legal assistance and expert witnesses of $250,000 be denied, as we don't feel that the outcome of the lawsuit is going to be beneficial to the city of Carlsbad due to the extensive costs, the possibility of appeals by the litigants, and the fact that we don't have a suit until something happens. We also have two other entities, I believe CID and who's the other, the state of New Mexico.
OCD.
Who are the ones who really stand to be hurt. And they haven't stepped forward to offer their help in this lawsuit, and it seems like it's just not the city's place to carry this forward. And that's my recommendation, if you have anything that you can add to it.
Well, I have had some conversation with Mr. Domenici in the last couple of days, I think he understands the position, which I conveyed to him as best I could, that my sense was that, while I couldn't say what you were going to do, that my sense was that there was a general feeling that this might not be our fight. I don't think he necessarily disagreed with that. I had sent an email to OCD last week, and Mr. Domenici followed up with OCD on that, talking to their chief counsel. And it is possible that OCD may intervene or initiate a lawsuit. They have not done that yet, and they had apparently had their own risk management division tell them not to do it in the early stages. But they had suggested to Mr. Domenici that they might take another look at that. But that decision is not out there tonight. We have no idea what OCD would do. There are possibly some exit considerations, exiting a lawsuit, if that's what the council wants to do, that Mr. Domenici would need to obviously wrap up. And, you know, the litigation doesn't end just immediately. It has to be ended in a way. But if it is the pleasure of the council to affirm the recommendation of the Budget Committee, then largely the expert witnesses that would be required would not be funded, nor would the additional legal assistance. So it impairs the ability to move forward and to prosecute the lawsuit as you would want to prosecute it if you want to move forward. I think frankly, my opinion is that this is probably not our fight, because it is not our position, nor is it within our ability or authority to abate the problem. The state, as you know, has come in, OCD, and engaged the services of an engineering firm to provide monitoring. In fact, they've taken over all of the monitoring since, I think, sometime in 2011, but recently they solicited RFPs, they selected AMEC, and they are going to do some intensive studying of the problem, and in about 18 months, which would be after the time we are scheduled to go to trial on this, they will then make their recommendations for how they think the problem should be abated and what it's going to cost. Even if we prevailed in this lawsuit, the funding from the insurance companies is not enough to abate the problem, which was most recently estimated at $50 to $100 million. There might be $10 million worth of coverage, but that ain't going to fix the
problem. That's mostly in the hands of the attorneys in order to fight the battle.
As some of you may know, the feed store sued IMW as well, and they prevailed in district court, and it was appealed by the insurance companies. IMW doesn't exist anymore. They're in bankruptcy. And I would note, I think we've talked about this before, but we incurred about almost a million five in engineering costs from respec when this issue arose several years ago. And through the bankruptcy proceedings, we have essentially been made whole. We received $1 million in reimbursement through bankruptcy, and we're expecting about another four and a half, roughly, whenever the bankruptcy trustee lets go of the rest of the money. So for all intents and purposes, the large amount of money we had in this, we have recouped. Federal court denied coverage the federal judge basically said there was no coverage. Apparently, he was referring to the excess policies of these insurance companies. He has now apparently said yes. If the attorneys had just simply presented the primary policies, there would have been coverage, but that he was not changing his mind. So Mr. Domenici informed me that I can't remember the name of the feed store. Steve, it's
Circle S.
Is going to appeal that to the 10th Circuit. So that's their fight, and they have real, actual damages, which at this point in time, we cannot say that we have. And I think that's really the basis for my opinion that this is probably not our fight, because we can't claim actual damages, and the future damages are, at this point in time, very difficult to assess because the full extent of the problem is not known. So I guess, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I would
say that this item 15 is a two-pronged deal, and I think, first of all, we need to consider the request for additional funding. I would entertain a motion as to what's the council's pleasure on that.
I make a motion to deny the funding, additional funding.
Second.
Got it. Motion.
Who seconded?
I made the motion to deny the additional funding of $250,000.
I didn't get the second.
Paul did. Okay. Call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
Okay, the second part of this is whether to terminate the City of Carlsbad v. INW Inc. Litigation. We can go ahead and do that at this point, or we might want to see what Domenici says our step is to drop it. We're obviously going to have some more funding just to get out of this mess. So. Would it be appropriate, in your opinion, that we pass that on to the next time, or go ahead and we can either table it, or we can have a motion as to what we desire to do with that?
Well, I think largely because this had to become public, because there was a funding requirement here. Plus, there was the collateral issue of whether you want to continue, because denial of funding, as I said before, seriously impairs the ability to prosecute this. There could be some exit strategies that would be available. Ms. Domenici had enumerated a couple of those. Trying to negotiate some small settlement with the insurance companies that would provide maybe a small amount of money each year so that the city could not prosecute a lawsuit or attempt the abatement, but just deal with the issues as they come up. I'm a little unclear exactly how we would support that, because largely what I think the defendants would look at in this case is if we're not going to fund what would need to be funded in the way of expert witnesses and additional legal assistance, they might not really have any real...
They got no incentive
no real incentive to settle. So I think while, yes, there will be some small amount of legal fees if it's counsel's decision not to terminate, there's probably nothing really at the end of an exit strategy at this point in time. That's my opinion.
The probably appropriate motion would be to terminate the lawsuit, the city of Carlsbad, BINW. Can we get a motion to that effect if that's your desire?
I'll make a motion to terminate the lawsuit between the city of Carlsbad versus INW.
I'll second.
Okay, motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Mr. DePorto?
Yes.
Mr. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Nunley?
Yes.
Mr. Salcido?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Aguilar?
Yes.
I have a comment question. You know, even though we're doing all this, that sinkhole area is still being monitored by equipment that recognizes motion.
Yes, yes. There's some very sophisticated equipment out there.
Not let people know that we're walking away.
And all of that monitoring, it's very important the public understand, all of that monitoring, the responsibility for that monitoring, including cost, is being borne by the state of New Mexico OCD.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments? Any comments from that audience? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Got a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I say we do something with our heating and cooling in this room.
This is awful. This is the joke.